The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie same game parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
Maybe muster a little more today to kind of get this streak over with?
Yes. I think, Moncada was out and Eloy, so it was like, I got fresh legs in there, different look, and they did a very good job. You know, it was good to see a W. That's who you play for.
That's White Sox acting manager Miguel Cairo after the White Sox take this one from the Twins 4-3, the final at Target Field. Two other games already in the books. The Tigers beat the Royals 10-3, and the Red Sox top the Orioles 5-3. Some other action going on right now. The Cubs, a 2-0 lead over the Phillies. That game's in the bottom of the eighth. That one's important for the NL playoff picture right now, as the Cubs try to go for the season-long sweep over the Phillies in their six outings for 2022. Right now, Philadelphia holding on to a half-game lead over the Milwaukee Brewers for that final playoff spot. The Phillies do have the tiebreaker, so really a full game lead for Philadelphia right now. But that is certainly one to watch if you're interested in the NL playoff picture. The Brewers do play later tonight. They'll take on the Marlins at home. Guardians host the Rays. Angels host the Athletics. Dodgers and Padres wrap up their series in San Diego. And the Mariners play host to the Rangers, and the Rockies finish off their series against the Giants. That is your Move Around the League. It's sponsored by Illinois Bone and Joint Institute, orthopedic care for the whole family. Learn more and request an appointment at IBJI.com. Haven't been a lot of highlights lately for the White Sox, but they did have a few today. Let's hear them. This is the Sox Supercut.
And now the Sox Supercut.
White Sox found themselves in an early 2-0 hole, but a leadoff single for Josh Harrison in the third was followed by this big knock from Romy Gonzalez.
And Gonzalez lines into right. That is a base hit, and it gets to the wall. Diving attempt, and Wallner let it get by him. Josh around third's going to be sent to the plate, and the throw there is not in time. It was close, but the relay throw by Gordon pulled Sanchez off to the right of home plate, and when he lunged back, he could not get Josh before he got his hand in. It's 2-1.
That cut the Sox deficit in half. Two batters later, Mark Payton stepped to the plate and delivered a big RBI single.
And he lines into right, base hit. Here comes Gonzalez, and we're tied. Mark Payton with his first hit with his hometown team.
That was also his first career RBI as well, and that one tied things up at two apiece. On to the sixth, White Sox tied with the Twins, all square at two apiece. Andrew Vaughn stepped to the plate after two singles to lead off the inning. He had runners on the corners and gave the Sox the lead.
Swing and a drive out to right. It's going to be caught by Wallner. Payton will tag. He scores. Abreu makes third as well. Andrew Vaughn with a sacrifice fly to make it 3-2. They've got the lead here in the sixth.
That was a big one for the White Sox. However, the Twins did retaliate with one of their own in the bottom half of the frame, and it was on to the eighth. Mark Payton reached on an error, got to third on a wild pitch, and the very next batter, Jose Abreu, doing what Jose Abreu does.
And a drive the other way. Deep right center field, and it is off the wall. Payton will score. Abreu's got a double, and they've got the lead 4-3.
The Sox got the lead and had it for good. Liam Hendricks came in the ninth and shut down the Twins for his 34th save, as the White Sox moved to 77-79 on the year and snap an 8-game losing streak, 4-3, the final from Target Field. It's going to do it for us here from the post-game show. Big thank you to our executive producer, Eric Ostrowski, as well as Charlie Bevins and Kendra Smith. If you're listening on our flagship station, ESPN 1000, Waddle and Sylvie are up next. They'll be talking all things Bears and more. So just keep it right here on the ESPN 1000 Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network. White Sox win it 4-3. Losing streak is over. Thanks so much for listening and have a great night.
Presentation of the ESPN 1000 Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network has been brought to you by
Insure on the Spot. Get a free auto insurance quote in 2 minutes by Heritage Harley-Davidson, the number one volume Harley-Davidson dealer group in the Midwest. By Illinois Bone and Joint Institute, helping you move better and live better. By your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Nissan dealers. And by Smashburger, every bite a better burger.
Listen to every game all season long. Right here. This is the ESPN 1000 Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Let's get this thing started. Waddle is at home broadcasting from the big parlor. I'm in the old National Bank studio right downtown across the street from the Chicago Theater. You can watch us on twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. I see Meller getting the Twitch chat up and rolling right now.
Are you inspired by that big White Sox victory?
The streak, I think now there is zero. I said yesterday that I probably would not watch another inning of White Sox baseball. Yeah. I lied to you because I watched most of the game today and listened to most of it coming in.
But we're not farmers.
Right, we're not farmers. But I think now that they won, now I think there's no reason to watch the Sox anymore. Like, it would have been funny. Like, I know a lot of Sox fans who were sort of rooting to lose out, like, to get so the organization.
Oh, come on, they're playing for second place, bro.
No, second place. What do you get for second place?
I just got done clipping my toenails. So, like, I mean, I'm, like, really inspired. Hey, last time they won was, what, 11 days ago in Detroit? So this is a big day. Big day.
It's a big day. Yeah, it truly. They came from behind. They never said die. They came to play. Yeah, I think that's about it of the White Sox stuff until they start making some changes and Rick Hahn addresses the media at the end of the year. But a win in Minnesota. Yeah. Now later, if the Cubs finish off their game, we can talk about the hottest team in town.
Yeah, here we go.
We can talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah, no,
no. I want to give a programming note to everybody. Tomorrow we are out for a Football Friday show. Waddle, as I mentioned, is going to BC to see his daughter Emerson. First time,
and probably to watch the Eagles get beat soundly by Louisville. But most importantly, spending time with my daughter.
I mean, come on now, glass half full. You never know. You speaking to the team?
No, they have not asked.
No, well, come on now.
They have not asked for the Sylvie treatment.
What's wrong
may ask
with them?
You to speak to the team.
What's wrong with
them?
Have
you seen my team play lately?
Well, they could use you. I know they could use you. No, I think it would help.
I don't think so.
So Waddle will be in Boston to go see his daughter for Parents Weekend. And I'll be out with Carmen and Yurko. We'll be at Legends in Woodridge. It is a Miller Lite event. And we're going to have a blast. We're giving away a Miller Lite Bears cooler. We'll get you set for the Football Friday action.
Johnny's going to put something special in that cooler, from what I understand.
Oh, really?
A good kid gift.
A little consolation prize or something like that inside
whatever it
the
is.
Prize?
You're going to have to win the cooler to find out, but I'm told that Johnny may place a special good kid gift in there.
Oh, I did not know. Did he really tell you that?
That's what I'm told, yes.
And we're going to be recording Crosstalk Unhinged before the regular show starts. So for this weekend, you'll get a new Crosstalk Unhinged that will drop on the ESPN Chicago app. And then you're going to get a Football Friday with Carmen Yurko and me at Legends in Woodridge. What's on your mind today, my friend?
You know, I'm looking forward to, I'm not going to be able to see much of it because I'll be traveling, but looking forward to the football week continuing. I think it doesn't, is this the start of week four? Or is this the end of week three? You know, they play so frequently, you can't keep track of the season. I know it's the start of week four, but, Cincinnati in Miami,
it's a good game.
Be a really good game. I think Carmen has leaned to the Bengals, has he not, because of all that the Miami Dolphins had gone through, the heats, the game, you know, the intensity of the game and everything. I think, if I'm speaking wrong, Carmen.
You are right.
Call it. So,
I followed his lead. Because do you know what the key stat from that game was? Is I believe the Miami Dolphins defense
was on the field for like 80 plays.
90. 90 plays in that heat, in that big win. And look, they've been flying high the entire season. I told you yesterday, you know, you face in your first game as head coach, Mike McDaniel, face Bill Belichick, you beat him, then you go and you come from behind on the road and you beat Baltimore, the MVP so far for this season, and then you go and you beat the best team in the league in Buffalo. So that's a lot.
It's a good start.
And then so now on a short week, in 4 days, You come out of that heat and you hope to play against the Bengals and shut them down. That may be a tall task for the Dolphins defense.
Yeah, I think it should be a good game. But I agree with you. You know, maybe Cincinnati finds a way to get another win. I thought you asked a really interesting question on the text chain today about, you know, which of the first time head coaches would you choose at this point? Again, we all get it. It's only three games, but I thought it really was an interesting question. That was one thing that was on my mind. And the other thing that was on my mind, honestly, you know, again, I told you, and we went over it yesterday, watching the All-22, and then I watched Dan Durkin's going to join us today at 5, right?
Yeah,
Dan
nerd notes five. Between you two.
But yes, nerd notes, exactly. But I watched a lot of Dan's break. It was an hour, so I'm not going to lie. I had to fast forward through some different things, but... But you know, after I looked at the film and then watched some of what Dan had to say, you know, I came away with something I mentioned to you yesterday. I do feel strongly that quarterback play has been awful. I mean, like, I'm not escaping that. But I can build you a bridge to something better pretty easily.
You can?
Or well, I mean, like, I think significant improvement is very possible. And I feel that way, and I kind of mentioned it to you yesterday, is because the mistakes he's making are so elementary that if you just cross your T's, dot your I's, and make your layups, it is going to look so much better. So I guess the point here, this is where the pendulum would swing. If he doesn't clean up the layups and the easy things that I'm sure Dan did a nice job. He said, here's some good, here's some bad, and here's some awful. If he can't clean up first and foremost the awful and then clean up the majority of the bad still as a young quarterback, then you're going to find that the progress won't be made over the course of the season, and that will be a really bad sign. But if you can clean up the awful and some of the bad over the next few weeks, And again, I'm not telling you he has to step in and drop shots into the turkey hole, okay? Like, the degree of difficulty is not, I'm not asking him to make only throws that Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen can make. I'm telling you, if he can clean up the basics and make the layups and get rid of the awful and improve some of the bad, you're going to see, just think about it, you're going to see significant improvement that's going to make everybody feel better. Think about where they're at now. He's completed 8 passes, 7 passes, and 8 passes. They're averaging a net 79 yards per game through the air. For the love of everything good and pure in this world, all you have to do is wake up and breathe correctly and improve those stats. Do you know what I'm saying? So if he goes out there and cleans up just some of the awful stuff, and like I said, again, makes the layups and makes just marginal improvement, it's going to... it's going to produce something that, at the very least, kind of quells, I think, some of the concern that we all have right
now. It's like what they used to say about the ACT or one of those standardized testing for college, the SAT, that if you put your name on it, don't you get like a 12? Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you should
get 600 points in the SAT for just signing your name.
Yeah, like, just rolling out of bed and reporting for duty at Soldier Field should allow you to throw for 80 yards in an NFL game.
Sign your name.
And, like, I continue to share with you some of the tweets that I get.
People are wrong.
And maybe I need to do a better job of just scrolling through it. Again, we never got to this point either yesterday. And it's been a point that you've emphasized a lot through the last couple of years about Nagy and about some of the other Bears stuff. And I think Chris Bryant was sort of under this, where a lot of the Chris Bryant fans were like, well, you're too hard on Chris Bryant these days. If you want to change the narrative, change the narrative.
Yeah, and it sounds simple, doesn't it?
Right, and if you're upset, like I keep getting if I had a dollar for every tweet that I got that, oh, the Bears fans don't even deserve a quarterback because of the criticism that you're hurling at Fields. Like, I don't think it's wrong for Bears fans to want the quarterback to play a little better.
I think that's one of the most. That's one of the most ridiculous comments I've ever heard.
I've heard it. This is why the Bears fan base is trash. This is like it's crazy. Some of the stuff that I've been reading, and if you want Justin it to slow down, Justin controls the narrative. Go out there and don't have a historically bad game.
Yes.
Don't throw for sub 100 yards. Don't have a completion percentage of 50%. Don't throw a couple of picks without having a touchdown. Don't miss wide open receivers when there's no pass rush. You know, then it will start to turn. It's sort of like the stuff that you were saying, dot the I's, cross the T's, and we'll slowly, we all want this to work. There's not one person I know who doesn't want Justin Fields to work out. We do not want to start over on this thing. So
I think the indigestion is coming from just the level of dysfunction with the passing game. And I think that, like, if it was just average, remember last year we were just preaching, give me middle of the pack offense, or at least 2 years ago when the defense was still humming. If they could have just been middle of the pack, 16, 18, even 20, they could have really made some noise, but they could never vault themselves up into that category on offense. Same concept here, but even more remedial. You're 100% correct. If you want the narrative about Justin Fields to change, Justin can change it, and I think he can change it fairly significantly by just cleaning up these layups. And I'm sure Dan will talk about it when he joins us at 5 o'clock as well. That's why, like, I don't think it's hopeless at all, because I think some of the things that he's doing wrong are so elementary that they are very easy to fix items.
Yeah.
And once he fixes.
I'm sorry.
Oh, did they win?
I had my finger on the button. Yeah. It's been a while since.
Did they sweep the Phillies?
Yeah, they did. They swept the Phillies.
And the Phillies are trying to get themselves into the postseason.
Cubs won 2-0 out at Wrigley Field. Can you believe that? Yeah, they're going to. I heard DJ and Len talk about this. They have a tougher road than the Brewers do now, the Phillies. Even though they own the tiebreaker, like, the Brewers, I think, have two really easy teams down the stretch. But the Cubs may have taken the Philadelphia Phillies out of the postseason.
Dumped them on their head.
You want a couple of numbers from me?
Well, the first one is there still 17 games under 500?
No, it's 16 or 15 now, I think it is.
Okay.
They are 35-29 since the All-Star break, okay? 35-29. How about this?
White Sox would love to have that record.
Yes. How about the Cubs are 9-0 now against the Phillies and Mets in that stretch? And then I saw this is from Bleacher Nation, I think, from yesterday. Just one team in the National League, the Mets, have more wins this season against teams with an above 500 record. Cubs now have 34 wins against above 500 teams.
I was told that's meaningless, though, last year.
What do you
Wasn't
mean?
Wasn't I told that it was meaningless? How you play against teams that are 500 or better than 500?
I guess when you're in a rebuild, it's something. You got to write home about stuff when you can write home.
Listen, when it makes you feel good about your team and it's your team doing it, of course it's more meaningful.
They've been watchable. Like I said, they've been participating. Now, Jed, now the tough part comes. Go to work and build a team. Put a team together.
Since you walk through the baseball door really quick then, we asked this question a couple of weeks ago. Which team's closer, or which team do you believe is closer to getting something legitimately done right now?
Yeah, and Hoodie and I talked about this on Tuesday. I brought this up that we had this as a
Who would you rather be at this point?
I would still rather be the Sox. They still have lots of good pieces who are in their prime. Their rotation is led by a Cy Young candidate. They have another young pitcher who I think is going to be really good in Kopech.
But you laid this out as perfectly as anybody. They've been dysfunctional, despite what you just mentioned.
Right.
They've been dysfunctional for decades.
Right, they have been. Yeah, I know. Now they got to do work. Like you talk about, there's some heavy lifting going on the north and south sides. It's necessary for both teams. They both have to go to work. Rick Hahn cannot just replace the manager and think, hey, we're good. We're good again. No, you got to revamp this team. This team doesn't mesh well. The parts do not, equal. What's the whole thing about the sum of the parts? Like the sum of the parts is less.
I'm gonna let you figure this out on your own.
The total is less than the sum of the parts.
I think that's
how it goes.
Yeah,
a bird in the parts is greater than the whole.
Yeah. A bird in the bush. A bird in the hand is two in the bush. Kill two birds with one stone?
A bush in your hand is less than a bird in your tree.
Stitch in time, worth nine.
You're still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
I know you are.
The total, the sum of the parts.
How about this? Is the total less than the sum of the parts, or I'm you've brought me into your web of idiots.
Yeah, the web of idiots. We are in the web of idiots right now. All right. So if you want to talk Bears, Justin Fields, I've got some really good sound to play for you. I've got some mic'd up Justin Fields where he is needing to be coached up by the backup quarterback, by the head coach, by the offensive coordinator. Then today at the Luke Getsy press conference, who is the offensive coordinator of the Bears, he was asked about some of the mic'd up stuff. And this was really interesting, whether or not they're scaling back the offense for Justin Fields. So I want to play you all that. Dan Durkin is coming up at 5. Waddle and him will compare their football nerd notes. You can weigh in at 312-332-3776. The Cubs won 2-0. The White Sox, 8-game losing streak, is over. They beat the Twins today. Anything you want to discuss, we're here for you on Waddle and Sylvie.
Miss a show? All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
We are back on the air after White Sox baseball. Sox win. The 8-game losing streak is over. Cubs won today, 2-0. We're talking some Bears here and anything you want to discuss. I got to get into the Aaron Judge stuff later. I think it's the dumbest argument I've ever heard. And I'm not being over the top. I think it's one of the dumbest sports arguments that we've ever had as a society. Yeah. I really do.
I think it's weird. I really do. The people digging in on it is just, I guess, fan however you want to fan, but I find it a little hard to understand as well.
Yeah, yeah. So here, I want to play this stuff. The NFL came out with all of the mic'd up highlights, and Justin Fields was mic'd up for one of his worst games. I don't know how many people knew that. So there was some good stuff coming out. Here's Justin in the pregame.
I'm ready to play for y'all, boys. Whatever I got to do out there to get this dub, I'm going to do it. So, hey, let's play hard each and every play. Let's not take one play off. We know it's going to be a long, tough game. They play hard. We play harder each and every play.
So started off well. And then, of course, they didn't do much passing. And there were times during the game, you're going to hear Trevor Siemian coach up Fields after some adversity. And then you're going to hear offensive coordinator Luke Getsy. So those are the two voices you're going to hear as Fields is a little bit down after some turnovers.
I got to be better. That's my fault.
This is the NFL, man. It's going to feel like for about, you know, a quarter, a half a game, and then you're right in the game. It's going to come down to one more game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
You got to move on, right? We're all good. Yeah, right? Last doesn't even matter. Last play, it's the last play, right? It's time to move on next. You'll be just fine, right? Putting the ball right back in your hands, so I'm going to trust you, right?
Simeon was absolutely right. Simeon called that. He's like, you're going to feel like crap for a quarter, but this game's going to come down to the last possession. And sure enough, it did.
Well, all I had to do was reference the San Francisco game. It may not have come down to the last possession, but the first half was dreadful. The first 11 minutes or 9 minutes of the or 10 minutes of the third quarter were dreadful. I mean, I think that he makes that play and scores that touchdown with 5 minutes to go in the third quarter. So, yeah, I mean, they can reference the first game of the season where it was going horribly and they were able to pull the nose up.
Here's one quick bite, too. Besides these, there wasn't much there. There was a lot of running plays that they featured with him grunting as he was picking up yards. Not many passing plays, of course, featured. This was after they won the game with Fields going up to Eberflus for a hug.
Hey, it was ugly, but we got it.
That's right. Hey, I gotta be better. That's part of growing up, man. Yeah, right? Sure. Great job.
That's part of growing up, says Coach Eberflus.
Listen, he's young. We all know this. These are difficult moments for a young quarterback. It's not an easy position to play. And I think as we have talked about quite a bit, I don't know exactly what his success level was at the high school level. I know what it was at the collegiate level. He's probably a young man who's never faced this type of adversity ever on a football field.
Right. Remember we talked about this? He was featured in that Netflix show.
That's right.
He was in the spotlight. Like, he got in the spotlight at a very young age.
The Elite 11 with the Trent Dilfer camp. I believe he and Trevor Lawrence, oddly enough, were 1-2 in that camp as well.
Yep. Here's Luke Getsy. So I like Getsy days. I think Getsy is, so far, he doesn't sugarcoat much. You know, we've seen that. Last week he was telling us.
Sounds like a weekly festival. Getsy days.
Getsy days. So this is a Luke Getsy day. He's the Bears offensive coordinator. And I think it was Deion Miller who asked the question about coaching up Fields in that clip that you just heard that we all saw in the mic'd up moment.
You know, I think it was just more about, you know, just the moment in the sense of like, hey, this is an opportunity to learn from this moment. You know, why that happened, the way that it happened, and how we can improve from it. That's all. We keep it real. We talk about what happened. Hey, this is why that happened. This is how we can avoid it so it doesn't happen again. He's in that moment, right? He's basically a rookie, right, Ian, still, and he's going through these experiences for the first time, and to then just think I made a really bad decision and then not really know why. I think it's important to make sure you're explaining to them, you know, why things happen. And so I think that's just, you know, hopefully that's how we're all coaching across the board here. And that's just a learning moment that we want to take advantage of.
He opened up a little bit, Waddle, when he tells you he's basically a rookie and he's going through this the first time. That tells you all you need to know what they think of what he went through last year, that this is his rookie season.
Yeah, not only was what he went through, you know, unsavory, but now he's in a different system. So, like, he's learning this new system for the first time. So it's almost like he is starting over. And he didn't have a ton. How many starts did he have last year? I think he had 10, maybe. Was it 11 starts that he had?
He came in relief a couple of those games, I know. Yeah. So, like, what was this, 13 now? So 3 this year. So, like, so maybe 9 or, 8 or 9 last year.
So he's learning a new system, but yes, they've had to. I mean, listen, they told you that from very beginning. They had to rewire him from the very beginning. They were putting his one foot in front of the other one, literally, in the first few days of camp. So this is where you find out how mentally strong you are. Adversity is really difficult to handle, especially when you're a first-round quarterback, and a lot is expected of you from the outside, but also from the inside as well. So, like I said, he can do himself a ton of favors if he just cleans up some of the little stuff. Cross the T's, dot the I's, hit the layups, and I guarantee you it'll give him and everyone around him a bit of a push, and it will take some of the pressure off.
This is really good stuff from Getsy here, Waddle. This is the big picture stuff. This is what's been speculated a lot. A lot of people have been saying all you have to do is look at the coach's actions, that they don't trust him. So Luke Getsy was asked the question, does Fields need to earn your trust to open up the passing game more?
Oh, no, no, not at all. That open up the passing game, we do whatever we have to do to win games. So we've opened up the passing game. It's not like we haven't called pass plays that we were, or that we've been intimidated to call a play by any means. We're calling the game the way we feel is best to attack with our matchups. So it doesn't just, it's not, you know, the perspective is that everything is just because it's through Justin. But we have 10 other guys that we have to account for too. So, you know, sometimes we aren't able to go five wide and spread people out because of, you know, matchups that we have to deal with. So that goes into a lot of things. So as we go through the games, we just got to find our way to take advantage of the matchups that we feel really good about and kind of stay away from those matchups that we maybe we don't feel so good about.
You buying it?
I think actions speak louder than words in a lot of ways. And again, I always go back to the end of the first half against the Texans on Sunday and their lack of desire to kind of push things and be aggressive and see if they could get a quick field goal to end the first half, because they weren't getting it to start the second half. So those actions kind of, you know, are symbolic to me of a coach and a coaching staff that are leaning towards being more conservative than being more aggressive. But I mean, look, there is some truth to it. It's not just Justin. It's you don't have the most talented receiver group. They do struggle to protect at times, and you put it all together, and I don't think the concern is just the quarterback. I think it's cumulative. But, yeah, I mean, you hit him with some of that Waddle and Sylvie truth serum, and I think he'd let you know that, you know, under the spell of the truth serum, that, yeah, they're, you know, they need to be conservative until they get some things cleaned up.
So I think one of the reporters followed up on that, not exactly calling BS, but saying, isn't the lack of pass attempts, like, look how little you're throwing, and isn't the lack of pass attempts in the first three games, isn't that an indication that you are limited in the passing game?
No, not at all. We do what we feel is best to help our team play a team football game, to help us win games. And I give a lot of credit to guys like him and those guys that are, I mean, receivers and Cole. Like, those guys got to do so much dirty work that maybe that they would love to be just running routes, catching balls. But, like, we got to do what's best as far as across the board, how we can take advantage of matchups sometimes. And sometimes, you know, hopefully as we go along, it'll be different each week. And I think how we've kind of viewed it has been different each week, and maybe from an outsider looking in, just looking at it, it doesn't appear that way, but it really has been. We really have approached each game plan much different, and like I said, we put a lot on those guys. Like, Justin has so much that he has to handle throughout the game plan, and he does such an unbelievable job with it. It's been more of a crutch for me because of how much he can handle. The receivers, the same thing. We ask him to do so many different splits and alignments and assignments, and they've just been they've been rock stars.
Right, he's raving about everybody.
They've been doing it. I give him credit, too. He's trying to pump his guys' tires, and that's what you're supposed to do. But they're not reinventing the wheel. Look, this is going to take care of itself as well with regard to the run-pass balance, because I find it very hard to believe that over the course of a 17-game season that you can continue to do what they're doing and try to accomplish what they're trying to accomplish, and that's win games. At some point, the game flow is going to dictate that they're going to have to complete more than 8 passes to win a game. That's just the reality. You can't go over the course of an entire season doing exactly what they're doing. I think in a lot of ways, it will take care of itself.
Here's Getsy regarding, this is something that Yurko's hit on, like that he's thinking too much. It's not a reaction. So Luke Getsy was asked, do you sense any hesitation from Fields as wide receivers are coming open?
No, I don't at all. I really don't. Like I said, that one, the first interception, that he actually had to speed up, and he did. He just missed the throw, honestly. So, you know, we got to just make it that we don't miss those throws, that's all.
Do you buy that?
Yeah, I mean, that ball could have come out a little quicker. There's no doubt about it, but the ball floated on him. And I think he actually talked about on that play that somehow, some way, the grip on the football wasn't great.
Watched the tape, don't you? Haven't you said that he is hesitating?
No, there's no question. And it's reflected in the way that the stats tell you that he holds the football longer than anybody else. I believe, And again, you know, you can massage some of these numbers, or because they've thrown so few passes, maybe it's less representative than a team that's thrown twice as many. But don't the Bears rank, doesn't he rank as the quarterback in the league that takes the most time to get rid of the football?
I think so.
And so, that's symbolic of a guy that is not really trusting what he's seeing, and he's not cutting it loose. And there are plenty of examples where you can look at the film and you can see he's looking at somebody that he should be delivering the ball to, but for whatever reason, he can't cut it loose because he's not comfortable with what he's seeing. I guess that would be the only explanation or conclusion that I could come to. But look, Luke Getsy's in a difficult spot. First of all, first-time offense coordinator. He's coordinating an offense that's probably got as little in the offensive huddle when you put it all together. And these are all professional players, so I respect them all. But when you compare them to the two offenses that you're going to see tonight play with the Bengals and with the Dolphins, they just don't stack up. But this is the argument that I got into with a lot of other people. And they're more talented, Waddle, than you're giving them credit for. Okay, you're welcome to your opinion. But through my lens, I just don't see that they stack up on the offensive line, at the wide receiver, at the quarterback spot at this particular time. I just think they're taking a butter knife into a gunfight most Sundays. And like that's a chore for a first-time offensive coordinator who's trying to do all this for the first time. And he doesn't have a ton to work with, and he's got a young quarterback that needs to be rewired and also is struggling through some of his growth pains as well.
And the one sharp knife that they have has been dull so far because Darnell Mooney hasn't done much, yes. And it's 27 yards. So here's Luke Getsy on the lack of completions to Darnell Mooney through three games.
Well, I mean, those two guys, I mean, they both worked their tails off, right? And then we come on the practice field, and they do a really nice job of creating that, what you're just talking about. And so we got to create more opportunities for those guys. I mean, Darnell's a big part of what we do, and if we're going to go where we want to go, he's got to be a part of it. I know that. And so we got to do, you know, we got to do a better job of making sure they get their hands on the ball. And so we'll find a few more of those, I think, as the season goes along, and once we find some comfort with other areas, that not just those two.
Yeah, we were sold all offseason the great chemistry between Fields and Mooney on and off the field.
Well, him in the tight end, Komet, as well. Komet, we were sold that as well. Listen, I would say the same goes for Mooney is what I said with Justin. Make your layups. Like, if they're going to throw you a receiver screen and it hits you between the numbers, then that's on you. You know, the drag route, that was a difficult throw early in the game for Fields. It was a little bit high. But because that is such a short throw, you know, that's a 7-yard throw. That's not a ball that's got a ton of speed on. That's not a 25-yard over route between you and the sideline, the throw that I used to argue with Yurko about last year, and I gave Mooney the benefit of the doubt. I don't give him the benefit of the doubt on that slow drag route that was 7 yards down. You make the play. Your young quarterback is struggling. You're a guy that, you know, we think you're a two. You think you're a one. You want us to think you're a one and not a two. Make the play. So
good advice. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Hold your thoughts here, Waddle. 312-332-3776. Let's load up your phone calls. We'll take some calls. I've got the injury report out and one lineup change. Is it finally going to happen this weekend? We found out, I think, today. We'll tell you whether or not it's happening coming up next. Guys, you know how much I love pizza. That's why they call me Pizza Man. And as a city full of frozen pizza fans, Chicago knows that we can count on Connie's to deliver authentic pizzeria flavor right at home. Connie's means quality because their frozen pizzas are made with only premium ingredients. And whether you have a taste for their famous cornmeal dusted thin crust or their new crispy on the outside, soft and airy inside pizzeria-style crust, Connie's Frozen is covered with restaurant-quality pies you can cook on your own time. Find Connie's wherever frozen pizzas are sold and bring home the best today. Connie's real pizzeria flavor is in the house.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
A couple weeks ago, Dan Durkin really doubled down and he said that Justin Fields is going to be a star, guys. We'll see if he's wavering at all after what he's seen from the film. Dan's going to join us in about 10 minutes from right now. Don't forget, I'll be out with Carmen and Yurko tomorrow. We'll be in Woodridge. Western Burbs, we're coming for you with some ice-cold Miller Lite at Legends. It's Legends in Woodridge tomorrow from 2 to 6. Johnny the Good Kid, Johnny Handsome, Johnny 8-Pitch, Johnny Golf all day. He'll be there with Carmen as well. And we'll have a good time. 6320 Route 53 in Woodridge.
When I was with those two, like, they're so much fun to work with, you know that. But that's where I got COVID. Like, it was the COVID trio.
Really? Are you sure about that?
I'm not saying that they gave it to me. That's when I remember we were at Michael Jordan's restaurant.
Right. No, that's when I think you got COVID from me.
I missed
for Cinco de Mayo.
Yes.
I was out with COVID. You had to work with them, but you had been exposed to me. And then I think that's when we had like a huge outbreak at the radio station.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
I think there was an infestation. But that's like halfway through that show. It's like, this is fun. This is great. I feel like crap.
I got COVID.
I think I got COVID, man.
The COVID trio. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I went home and COVID.
That was the show that you did, Yurko versus Waddle, right? Do you remember
that? Yes. Yeah, Yurko versus
what?
Coco and Donnie.
Coco and Donnie. Did you know this happened to Sylvie?
Uh-uh.
It's a trivia question, and whoever asked the trivia question, instead of hitting a contest, I'm sorry. But when the question's asked, instead of like hitting a buzzer, the first one to chime in gets to answer the question first. So
someone had to become Coco.
His chime in name was Coco, and I was Donnie. I have no idea because I had COVID.
Donnie?
I probably wasn't thinking straight.
Yeah, why'd you
COVID
go...
or the tequila that you were sipping? One of the two.
Oh yeah, the Sincoro.
That's true.
You want an injury report here? And the lineup change that I've been wanting, Waddle, doesn't sound like it's going to happen. According to Courtney Cronin, she tweeted earlier that, they're still having Lucas Patrick snap the football, but Getsy is basically fine with the way things are going at the line right now. And they aren't ready to make a determination that they're going to be moving him to full-time center.
It is interesting, isn't it? It feels very collegiate that you're having rotating guards. Back in high school, the guards, don't you remember, like rotating guards used to bring in the plays in high school. Like we had two.
Is that how you guys did it? That's who would bring in the plays, the guards?
Yes, guards. I think that was kind of standard back in the day. That was how a lot of the plays were shuttled in. But at the NFL level, it's kind of odd that and last week, Lucas Patrick was on the field significantly more than Tevin Jenkins, because when Lucas Patrick was in there, they went on drives. And when Tevin Jenkins was in there, they did not go on drives.
Right.
But I thought it was interesting, too, that the reason why Patrick started was because they basically said that Tevin Jenkins didn't practice well on Wednesday.
Okay, all right. They want his focus, maybe. Maybe that's been a problem, the total focus. Here's the injury report. Robert Quinn, according to Courtney, had an illness and did not practice. Cairo Santos did not practice with a personal absence. Sterling Weatherford was limited with an ankle. Ryan Griffin downgraded to not practicing after being limited yesterday. David Montgomery, Matt Adams, and Dan Cruikshank, along with Jalen Johnson, were all did not practice for the second day this week.
Jalen Johnson's not going to play.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it. Yeah. Roquan and Velas continue to be limited. So that's good that Velas did not go down, that he's been limited. I don't know if he'll play this week, but hopefully he's getting closer.
That should help the offensive cause as well. I mean,
get some speed out there.
Any weapons they can put out there.
All right. Coming up next, Dan Durkin will join the show. Is he wavering at all about the future of Justin Fields? Find out next.